Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and it looks like I am going to be starting off on my own, and hopefully things go well. I've been having really odd internet issues all day, so let's hope we make it through at least part of the podcast. Anyways, you'd like to call in and talk to me till hopefully Dan arrives, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and feel free to email us. You can do that at sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so swing on by there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also hunt me down on Twitter if you'd like. I am at Burke Time, and that's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. If you want to meet up with me there or make fun of me there or whatever you want to do there, that would be just fine. So let's get rolling along here, and hopefully Dan will stop by to visit us in a little bit. But anyways, we got a lot more baseball news, and again, it was the Toronto Blue Jays kind of stealing the headlines here. They come to an agreement with free agent George Springer. Now, this was after yesterday where they signed two pitchers, Tyler Chatwood and Kirby Yates. Springer getting a little more money than those two guys. He got 6 years from the Blue Jays and $150 million. Originally there was talk that Springer wanted 120 or 125. So he's getting 150 from the Blue Jays. And this is something the Jays kind of, have to do to get these guys. It seems to get these guys to want to come to Toronto. They kind of have to overpay or add an extra year or however it works out. But anyways, they lock up George Springer, and he'll take over in center field for them. It looks like Randall Grichuk will probably move to right, and that leaves Teoscar Hernandez as the designated hitter. So the Blue Jays have putting together a really young, what looks like a really potent lineup. From all reports I've heard, Springer is going to lead off. So, he'll probably bat, Kevin Biggio will probably bat behind him. Then you plug in Bo Bichette third, either Hernandez or Vlad Guerrero Jr. fourth. Obviously the other one would hit fifth, and you just kind of continue to work your way down your lineup. You have Loris Goriel Jr. who will occupy the other outfield role. Danny Jansen will be the starting catcher. I know they have Alejandro Kirk, who can catch but is more of a DH and is a very good hitter. Rowdy Tellez will play first base, and I'm not quite sure who will actually end up opening up as Blue Jays' everyday third baseman. They DFA'd Travis Shaw, so we know it won't be him. Let me see if I can pop up their depth chart really quick here. But like I said, I was having some funky internet issues, so it may take a little longer than I want it to. And it also helps if I could type in the right frickin' web address to see what I was doing. And it's weird because I was looking at this depth chart earlier, and for whatever reason, I'm just kind of drawing a blank on who they had slotted in at third base. And if it's going to be something I easily should have remembered, I'm going to be probably more disappointed with myself than anything.
So let's see. I just need to line up the load here. There we go. And as of right now, it looks like, oh, they actually, yeah, they still have Vlad Jr. back at third. I should have known that when I said Rowdy Tellez was going to play first base, right? Boy, I'm really just kind of, you know, anytime I end up having to roll out by myself, I get a little confused and all that other stuff. But so there you go. You know, we got that going on, but you know, that's kind of the deal, you know. And then there were some reports also today that the Jays had came to a deal with Michael Brantley. Well, those turned out to be untrue. And it just came out here about an hour ago that Brantley is actually re-signed with the Houston Astros. He's going to get 2 years at $32 million. So he, you know, he's going to cash some paychecks there. And, you know, I think Houston needed to do something. You know, they were kind of scuffling and kind of struggling to get somebody to come back. So, you know, they didn't want to spend the money on Springer. I can understand that. That's a, you know, a very big investment. So you always got to kind of worry there with what you're doing. And, you know, getting Brantley to return is a big deal. You know, the tough part there is they're going to get Yordan Alvarez back and healthy this season. So it really limits Brantley's options as a designated hitter. So, you know, him as an everyday outfielder, hopefully he'll be okay. You know, he had that one really bad injury years ago. Hasn't shown any signs of it, you know, as of late. But it's nice to be able to spell him occasionally in that designated hitter slot. But, you know, with Alvarez back, you can't really put Alvarez out there because, unfortunately, he's a butcher in the outfield. I mean, from time to time, he's going to probably have to go out there just to give Brantley a break. But, yeah, it's you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle that and how they kind of rotate it, you know, to move the guys, you know, around and along. And you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, and while Brantley and Springer were the two major signings, there were a couple other signings that, you know, make sense for teams. Another former Cub, now, you know, again, former Cub now, Jose Quintana picked up a one-year deal to join the Los Angeles Angels. Now he'll reunite with former Cubs manager Joe Maddon, and he'll probably slot in third in their rotation. You got to figure, you know, Andrew Heaney's number one if he's healthy. Dylan Bundy should be number two after the year he just had. Could even be number one. You know, you plug Quintana in as the third guy, and you know, that should kind of work out. Of course, you got to wonder what the Shohei Ohtani limits are going to be and how that's going to work out. But that's a, you know, that's a pretty solid signing for the Angels. And then I saw it was also reported that J.A. Hop is going to leave the Yankees. He got a one-year deal to join the Minnesota Twins. Now, terms of the deal haven't been disclosed yet because we're just really getting news here. And you know, the Twins added, you know, well, not really added, but they're going with a lot of, you know, veteran guys. You're looking at Kenta Maeda and Jose Berrios come back. You know, you got Michael Pineda. You throw J.A. Hop in that mix. You know, you have Rich Hill, but, you know, you're kind of question how if he'll be healthy or how many starts he can give him. Then there's Randy Dobernak, who I know they really like. So we'll have to see. Or is Hill a free agent? Maybe Hill's a free agent and they don't have to deal with that. But yeah, well, you know, I'm sure terms of his deal will come out a little later, but, you know, luckily Dan has been able to stop by. Dan, what do you think of these new free agent signings after yesterday's?
It's pretty, well, you know, you've been saying when's the action going to finally take place, and it's taking place.
Yeah. Finally. So. So.
Well,
coming off the board.
I thought it was funny, though, because I seen a little meme this morning. You know, the Toronto Astros. It's like they signed George Springer. I don't get the connection. And, you know, this guy then it responded to my question on Facebook. I don't remember where it was, but he listed off three names, George Springer and then Michael Brantley. And I just, you know, I was laughing because the other three, you know, that the Tescoro Hernandez, you know, he kind of went over there
yeah.
a little while ago. And so, you know, to me, I would find that funnier if the Blue Jays had signed all those guys this, you know, within the last 2 weeks. Then it's kind of like, oh, yeah, they are, you know, they're taking the Astros. But, you know, that'd
and
be
maybe
kind of
it
calling
would,
Washington.
Well, maybe it would be funnier if they actually signed Michael Brantley, which they didn't.
Yeah, that too. So I'm like, well, you went from four with the potential, now you're down to four. And only one of those Blue Jays, you know, former Astros was signed this year. Yeah, and that would be kind of like joking that the Nationals are the Washington Cubs. Now,
yeah.
If they go ahead and trade for two more guys, then we can make that joke. But I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny. And I'm like, but when did you confirm, you know, when was it confirmed about Brantley? And I got no response. And I swear, Big Jack, it was in like within the hour. I'm sitting there, ding, my phone goes off, and there's MLB. Astros just re-signed Michael Brantley. And let's be honest, you know, I really wouldn't consider, I don't know, I still think of Michael Brantley and the Indians. I wouldn't really call him one of
yes.
the Astros' own.
And to be fair, you know, the Blues do have another Astro. They have one of the Astros' former prospects, Derek Fisher. You know, and that's what Hernandez was with the Astros, and he really struggled there. So it's tough to really, you know, like you don't think of those guys as Astros because they never really had a career there. Now, obviously, you know, kind of like Brantley had a career with the Indians. He played, what, 1 year or 2 years with the Astros. You know, if their careers stretch out like Springer – is an Astro. He spent 7 years there. You know, of course,
yeah.
It looks like he'll be have spent the next six in Toronto. So, or a kind of a variation of Toronto, because I heard a report that he's maybe playing in Florida to start the season. So, you know, it's, you know, I get it. And, you know, I hope the guy was just trying to be funny, but he kind of missed the mark, and then it blew up in his face when Brantley didn't get signed. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little too old, but, you know, sometimes it's like a joke, but a joke is funnier when it actually makes sense. You know, that would be like considering,
yeah.
Hey, yes, Aroldis Chapman wore a Cubs uniform, but to really run around and consider him a former Cub, you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't really hold any weight. You can only say that he's a former, you know, really, when you think of Aroldis Chapman, yes, of course, you're going to think of the Cubs World Series win. But, you know, I still don't think of Chapman as a Cub. I still think of watching him in the Reds, you know, and having the perfect setup man in Sean Marshall and for a little bit there. And then a Yankee. I know I get a little too technical on that and it's kind of petty. But at the same time, it just like, joke's not, it's not really funny. And then, you know, someone else commented in there, well, you know, the Astros have two Blue Jays.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, if you want to, you know, I mean, if you want to really go down the list, you know, I mean, with the trades and everything that happened, you know, everybody's got somebody who started someplace else. You know, it's just one of those things. So, you know, like I said, it was a nice try, but, you know, it just, you know, it
didn't. No, but it was pretty funny that the Michael Brantley thing, and I'm like, I haven't seen anything, you know. Guys, I get the notifications. I have it set up. I'm one of those baseball nerds. I have it set up on my phone, so every time someone, you know, sneezes and John Morosi or somebody reports it, I get an update. So,
yeah.
You know, so I just laughed when I saw Michael Brantley. And what was the terms between their contracts? Because I don't know, Big Jack. It just seems like, man, well, I don't know, Big Jack. It seems like some guys who, you know, the talent is there, but I just don't feel like some of the money matches it. And
Springer got 6 years and $150 million, and Brantley got 2 years at $32 million.
You know, for any team, I can kind of live with that. I just don't really know about that 7 year. Or am I looking at it wrong?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I think it was the only way they could get him to go to Toronto was to give him that. So they sucked it up the sixth year because he was looking for five.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the only reason I think he'll do well. I don't even know why I'm going to say. I just worry though, that they're going to have another kind of Joey Bats end of the line kind of situation going on in a few years with his contract.
Yeah. You know, and you've got to wonder, you know, anytime they hand out these kind of contracts, you have to start wondering when you ask them, you know, kind of like the Albert Pujols deal. You know, obviously it was great the first year he was there. You know, now he's on the downside of his career. You know, you have to wonder, you know, when Springer gets to be 35, 36, 37, you know, I guess, A, can he still play center field? And B, what kind of player is he? So.
Sorry, my dogs are yelling.
Yeah, no.
They just threw in my train of thought. I mean, how do you feel about the deals between the two teams?
I like the Springer deal. You know, in my opinion, it's a little too much money, but, you know, I'm an old man, and these guys are always getting too much money, so I understand. You know, I like the Brantley deal, short-term, 2 years. And I think that was almost a must-do for the Astros. I mean, if they lost Springer and Brantley, that could be a big blow to that offense. And, I mean, obviously they still have Ben and Correa and Altuve, but, you know, it would really – change the complexity of their outfield. And I do worry about Brant to be an everyday outfielder this year because Yordan Alvarez is back, you know, from that injury that took him out all of last year. But he's a joke in the outfield. And even with Brantley in the outfield, the Astros are looking at, you know, like Kyle Tucker and, you know, some form of Miles Straw or Chaz McCormick, there's no E, you know, at filling out those other positions. I'm guessing Tucker will play every day because he proved he can hit last year. But, you know, that leaves a bit of a hole in center field. Now, obviously, there still are guys out there that they could, you know, they could bring up. And, you know, they have some of their lower-rated prospects in AAA that maybe they flash and show something and might be able to fill that role. But it's, you know, it's, I don't think it's the Astros team we're kind of used to seeing. Now, obviously, they're not going to be the embarrassment that the Cubs are going to be. But I think they're going to have a battle on their hands, you know, with the A's and maybe even the Angels. If the Angels can add one more starter, you know, the West could be up for grabs. So we'll have to kind of wait and see.
Now, you know, another conversation I've seen, it's going to be one of those Facebook-heavy ones, right, was the fact that, you know, and obviously I don't know how much truth there is, and, you know, going back to, just to kind of give you the history, going back to San Francisco, allegedly San Francisco wasn't, you know, had like a dark cloud hanging over them until Bonds was gone, and then all of a sudden everyone was excited for them to win the 2010 World Series, which oddly, the amount of stuff every time Bonds was involved and the amount of fans that showed up in San Francisco, I think kind of is the polar opposite of what that statement was made. But they alluded to the same kind of situation in Houston that, well, one guy, of course, was one of those blow up the team kind of guys. So, you know, he's a Theo Kool-Aid drinker, because he is a Cubs fan. You know, he's the first one to bring that up. They need to blow up the team. And then these other guys started getting into about how, you know, Bregman and Altuve need to go so that this team can have respect again. And, I mean, I don't know. Whether they did it or not, it's not been 100% proven. What you and I think is what you and I think. You know, baseball made its ruling. And I don't know, it really doesn't matter. So I don't know how blowing up this team and kind of still having that reputation, which I really don't think they have. You know, I think it's one of those that's just going to kind of go away, especially because of the COVID and no fans, you know, and the reporters and all that good stuff we talked about. But I just don't see them having like this negative light or dark cloud hanging over them, just, you know, because they still have Bregman and Altuve on their team. Do you see it that way? Have you read or seen anything that kind of backs that theory up that, you know, what's best for Houston is to get rid of these guys and what, you know, what that's supposedly what, like, the fans want to? I don't know. It just kind of threw me for a curveball. You know, I guess we didn't really – well, yeah, we did have that here in Chicago. And, you know, while my personal thoughts on it really don't matter, I mean – I still personally believe that Sammy, Mark, and all those guys technically weren't doing anything against the rules.
Well,
no,
not
but
to
going
start
back
with,
to Houston.
At least.
Yeah, not to start with, at least.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I heard today there was one of the reporters I listened to. I don't remember who it was because I hear so many different people on a daily basis. He basically said that nobody cares about it now. We're 2 years removed. Honestly, I think the only people who probably care are Dodger fans because they're the ones who got cheated out of the World Series. But other than that, I think, you know, everybody else is pretty much over it. I mean, I was bothered by it at first, but even like now I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't care. You know, baseball has taken the steps to outlaw that kind of stuff. So, you know, let's just move on and go and keep, you know, let's play baseball.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say I'm surprised by that response from you. Maybe just a little bit. But, you know, again, I don't think, like you said, it's anything to continue to hold on to. You know, I think, you know, part of it, yeah, they were cheating, but were they also doing what Theo did with, you know, kind of finding loopholes in contracts.
Yeah.
You know, in contract, but in the rules. Finding a loophole and just kind of exploiting it. It's not right.
Well,
but,
and
you know,
to be
in
fair,
court of law, nothing illegal about it.
Yeah. To be fair, everybody tries to cheat in baseball. You know, I mean, on a game-to-game basis, everybody tries to cheat because everybody's trying to steal signs. So it's just part of the game. Unfortunately, what the Astros and what the Red Sox did was egregious cheating. You know, and it was against the rules because they used video to learn what the pitches were that were being thrown. So, and that's why Major League Baseball changed that rule that there would be no video available during the game. And that affected a lot of players. Part of the reason some guys didn't hit last year was because they couldn't go in the clubhouse and watch a video of their bats. So it made it more of a guessing game for them, and guys really struggled. But, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, come on, think about it, Dan. How many pitchers are out there trying to find a way to get more break on their curveball, you know, get their fastball, maybe dance a little more than it does. You know, it's cheating is inherent to baseball. It's just where you rank it on levels. And unfortunately, this is probably at the very top. I would even put this ahead of steroids.
Yeah.
You know,
I
because
would,
they used it to win World Series.
Yeah, where the steroids was used to bring back interest into the game.
Or, you know, or in a lot of cases, personal goals, because, you know, like your guy Melky was looking for a big contract.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and
you know,
I think that's
what a lot of guys were looking for.
You know, and I think that's one of the reasons, like with Melky, everyone got over it quickly. Because
he admitted that
he
was looking for a payday, you know, and that obviously helped. And, you know, I think that's part of the problem with Bonds is he's never admitted any wrongdoing.
Yeah.
You know, and neither has Clemens.
But...
And, you know, it's we both know they took something. So.
Yeah, but I think with those two guys being the situation that they were in, you know, I mean, this went because of them, not, you know, them specifically, but their group of guys, their era. This was not just if I, you know, say I did it, baseball would just hand me my fine and, you know, whatever the suspension would have been, they could have carried it out and then played again or whatever it was, or maybe not because they were older. But the biggest truth, I think, and why you're never going to get a comment out of them or confirmation is because it went so high to our Congress. So when you get so much of that legality involved, they're not going to ever say anything. I don't even think they would on their deathbed.
No, you know, and I get it. You know, they didn't want to admit anything also because obviously it's already impacted their Hall of Fame chances. If they were to admit it, I don't think either of them would be anywhere as close as they are now to getting in. So I think the sad part with both of them is they were both Hall of Famers before they started taking anything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why Clemens did it. I think just to prolong his career. But it was clear Bonds did it because he wanted the yearly home run record. He didn't want McGuire to have it. And he wanted to beat Hank Aaron. So.
Yeah, and he did.
You know, because he was that close. And, it was like, well, you know, I'm here. What the hell? I might as well just, you know, roll it out. And, you know, and again, you know, I've said it before. I'm all for them being in the Hall of Fame. Just got to have an asterisk on that plaque. You know, same with Pete Rose.
Well, I don't even think you need to put an asterisk on their plaque. I just think you need an asterisk wing.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the 18 or the 18 Red Sox and 17 Astros should go in there too.
Yeah.
In the asterisk portion. So, but
yeah, and there was one more signing before I switch sports on you because I need you to help me with some football related stuff. Wade Davis, your guy, another former Cub. He's going back to Kansas City, Dan, where he had probably his best seasons. You know, he's going back on that, you know, minor league deal with an invite to spring training. So maybe Wade will get, manage to stumble into a spot there.
Good for him. I don't know. His downfall is just kind of sucks.
Signing with a great ball.
I missed that.
Oh boy, his downfall was signing with the club?
Oh, yeah. I mean, aside from that disappointment, being a Cubs fan and all, I don't know, you know, just being a fan of baseball and watching this guy's career kind of develop, and by the time he came to Chicago, not only were the expectations high because, you know, we wanted to see another World Series here, but I think just the natural progression of what it looked like his career was going in, you know, in that direction, and it just fell apart.
Yeah.
No comment
from you. No comment there. This is where I want you to kind of drop in here and help me out with this one. You know, obviously, it's the NFL offseason, you know, for a lot of teams. And, you know, there were seven that needed to find new head coaches.
Wow.
I believe there are only, two or three maybe left that need to hire somebody. I know the Texans still need a coach, and I think the Eagles may still need a coach. Now, you know, this brought up a lot of questions about, you know, the Rooney Rule, and would we see any, you know, black, basically, they have to say African-American, Dan and I can say black. I'm looking here to see how many are still open as I try to talk to you here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 have been filled. So, yeah, the two openings, the Eagles and the Texans. Now, we've had five guys hired, Dan. Four of them have been white, and one of them have been Muslim. Now, this has put the media in a frenzy about how the Rooney Rule doesn't work and the NFL has to change it. And I heard a couple guys over the last 2 days almost say that they need to force teams to hire black head coaches. And all I kept thinking to myself was, you're going to force the guy who owns the team to hire somebody. How do you do that when he paid millions or in some cases billions of dollars to own this team? Because if you told me I had to hire this person, I would tell you to buy my team.
Yeah.
So I need your assistance in explaining this, because I, you know, while I would love to see more black NFL head coaches, I don't have a problem with it. If you're qualified, you should get the job. But I can't see being forced to do it.
No. No, and you're right. I mean, I think if there's a committee that wants to force that on, well, then the NFL has to institute or find a way for that committee to pay that coach's salary. Because if you know, I'm being assigned, you know, if the league's assigning head coaches, that's the next step and that's the route they want to go, then, you know, then that's what you have to do. To me, it honestly, it seems like a lot of the well, and I don't even know. You know, I don't. Football has so many players, and you know, I think the biggest discrepancy is what you would call almost a ratio. You know, if you compare, you take that average, the amount of players in the league, and divide it up racially, which, you know, I thought that's what we were trying to get away from, was that we were all one and united and not everything being separated, but it seems to be kind of put that way again. But, you know, if you kind of look at it, I think the proportion is it's disproportionate, to say the least. But how do you apply for this head coaching job? Obviously, right. This is not something that's, you know, just on LinkedIn. You know, I don't know if there's an NFL Players Alumni Association where, you know, head coaching jobs or coaching jobs in general get posted. I don't know the whole process and how that works. But, I mean, like you said, I think any owner should be open to anybody. And the best man for the job should be picked regardless of race. You know, if this Rooney rule is not working, then, you know, I think the only other solution would be to have whoever's hiring the coaches where you don't even see the names. You just kind of get a profile. You don't even do a meeting, you know, one-to-one meeting. You do Zoom or online meetings where there's no faces. And you have to distort the voices. You know, we're talking about, I think we'd have to get the CIA or FBI involved in this, you know, with the technology that should be required to completely make each candidate anonymous to the person that's hiring.
Yeah, and, you know, now obviously the reason this is really coming up is because Eric Bieniemy is the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. Now, he's interviewed for, I think, maybe all of the jobs that have been filled. I know he's got an interview with the Texans. I don't know if he's scheduled to interview with the Eagles, or maybe he already has. He's the guy they're pushing right now. But what's so weird, and I heard a guy try to denounce this today, is every time they push this guy, they forget to mention one very important thing, Dan, and that's the fact that while, yes, he is the offensive coordinator, Andy Reid calls the offensive plays for the Chiefs. Well, the last coach, I believe, that was hired from the Chiefs was, a guy we know a lot about. And that was Matt Nagy, who was the Chiefs offensive coordinator and did not call plays. And
Big Jack, but that doesn't grab headlines. That doesn't bring in ratings.
Right.
When you headline your show or your article with the NFL is basically a racist, they don't hire enough, you know, non-white managers. And here's a guy that should be hired. Although, I'm sorry, though, Big Jack. Like you said, 27 teams could be hiring a head coach. Well, there's 30, right? 28 teams could be hiring a head coach right now, today, except for the Chiefs and the Bears. And I'm sorry, but I think 28 of those teams will kind of look at the track record and not only look at who's worked with Andy Reid, you know, because that's the big thing, too. You have to look at the lineage. While they're not related, there's a family tree. And, you know, we're all connected 6 degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon. You know, I'm sure you can figure that one out. But when you start taking these guys, you have to look at under tutelage, you know, who has succeeded. And, I mean, the biggest one here, even though I love that you brought up Matt Nagy, because you know that if they were somehow to trade for Deshaun Watson, that would completely change the scope of Nagy's play. And his system would finally work here in Chicago. That's got to have a lot of sugar in it if you're drinking that Kool-Aid. But, you know, and I think that's one of the bases. You have to kind of come up with something other than just one guy. And it's got the track record. You know, that would be my first thought. And but you still have to interview him and kind of see what's going on. And, you know, let's be honest, we've watched a guy who didn't call plays come in, and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, you know, and then the other thing that – now, this has been anonymously reported, so you never know how much truth there is to this. But there were a couple reports out there that says that Bieniemy doesn't interview really well. And, you know, Dan, we all know people like that. I mean, you can be the smartest guy in the room, but sometimes you just can't enunciate that, and it doesn't – go well. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've had job interviews where you've struggled to, you know, maybe respond to what they were asking you. I know I've had that happen to myself. Mm-hmm. Just kind of rose up. You know, so if, you know, that is something that's true, that's obviously going to hurt his candidacy as well. You know, because, you know, I mean, the number one thing you got to do in an interview is be able to sell yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, and hopefully, like I said, those were anonymous reports, so you never know how true that is, and hopefully they're not. And, you know, I know Deshaun Watson is a big supporter of the enemies, so I have a feeling he's probably got the inside track to get the Texans' job, but they have to wait for the Chiefs to be out of the playoffs to make any kind of announcement like that. So.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you wonder with these last two openings. If they're waiting for a coach from one of these four teams, you know, I know Buffalo's offensive coordinator has gotten a lot of buzz lately as well. I believe his name is Brian Dabo. So, you know, maybe they're just waiting, you know, one of the teams are waiting for that to happen to see, you know, or get the next hire announcement. So, but yeah, you know, who knows how it's going to go, but yeah, I was so baffled like that, you know, when it was like, yeah, they need to be forced to, and it's like, how do you force a billionaire to do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, it just didn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, you know, 1984 will be here shortly. So,
but yeah,
so,
then,
I mean, but,
you know, the,
but what I was gonna say, what you're saying is you're not buying anything into the Bears trading to get Deshaun Watson.
You know, that's always a possibility. You know, if he does decide that he wants out of Houston, you know, that's one of those things that could happen. You know, the problem, of course, is Philip Rivers just announced his retirement today. So now the Colts need a quarterback. You know, there's obviously going to be other teams out there that do need a quarterback. You know, the Patriots obviously are probably looking for somebody because, you know, while Cam Newton was okay, he was just there on a one-year deal. So he's a free agent. You know, if Drew Brees walks away, you know, I know everybody, you know, they try to sell you on Taysom Hill, but that could be a possible opening. So, you know, there could be a lot of teams in line to land a Deshaun Watson, and you got to wonder, you know, the Bears, I believe the Bears still owe the Raiders some Khalil Mack draft picks. So I don't know if they would have the ammunition to go get him. So, you know, we would kind of have to wait and see, you know, but just kind of looking at the teams, you know, off the top of my head, San Francisco may be interested because I heard they're really possibly going to move away from Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, we saw the Redskins with, you know, the big opening. So yeah, it, you know, there could be quite a few suitors in that little Deshaun Watson derby. And like I said, I don't know, you know, if the Bears have the draft picks. And, you know, the other thing is, I'm sure Houston's going to want a veteran quarterback in return, but would you be happy if we said, oh, yeah, we'll give you Nick Foles? So.
Yeah, of course.
You know. But, yeah, that's a, you know, a lot of ifs and buts there. So, yeah, and you know what they say, Dan? If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. So.
Can I have a double quarter pounder meal, number three, with no cheese and no onions?
Do you want a medium or large meal?
In case you couldn't figure it out, Dan is actually at McDonald's. I did mention Philip Rivers retired. That ends a 17-year NFL career, obviously 16 of them with the now Los Angeles Chargers. And last year he spent with the Indianapolis Colts. Never did make it to the Super Bowl. However, he is fifth in NFL history with 63,440 passing yards. He's also fifth in touchdowns with 421. So, you know, a very, very good career, which I think will lead to a Hall of Fame induction. Maybe not on the first shot, but I definitely think he got there. And he mentioned in his statement that he really wanted to announce his retirement on January 20th. And in case you don't know or you're not Catholic, today is the church's feast day for Saint Sebastian, often referred to as the patron saint of athletes. So, and Rivers is a devout Roman Catholic. So this is a very big deal to him to do it on this day. And then, you know, one of the more humorous things, and I honestly didn't know this about him, I knew he was always a trash talker on the field. I mean, Rivers was always arguing with somebody or, you know, just going back and forth with somebody. I did not realize that he didn't do it without cussing. So he didn't work blue, as they say. He kept it clean and, you know, let guys kind of have it without using any foul language, which is quite humorous in this day and age, because you know, now it's like everybody, you know, drops F-bombs here and there. And, you know, I mean, even occasionally Dan and I will let one fly, not the F-bomb, luckily, but we let other things fly here on the, you know, on the air that we try to not do. And now you don't have to worry about Rivers, because he's already got his next job lined up. He goes from NFL quarterback to head coach at St. Michael Catholic High School in Fairhope, Alabama. He's hoping he'll be able to coach his son there, because he was coached by his father. So we'll have to see how the team does with Philip Rivers as their coach. But yeah, you know, definitely a very long and very good NFL career. It started off a little interesting. You got to remember, Rivers was the guy traded for Eli Manning when the Chargers took Eli number one, and, you know, he refused to sign there. Rivers was the guy the Giants drafted so they could make the swap with the Chargers to bring Eli to New York, and Rivers at the time went to San Diego. This was way back in 2004, if you don't remember that. So, we'll have to, take the flashbacks there, but, just one of those things. He never ended up on a team you know, really good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And the one year it looked like they might have a chance, he blew out his ACL and ended up missing the AFC Championship game, which I believe they lost to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So, but yeah, I mean, just a fantastic career for what I honestly believe is definitely a future Hall of Famer. You know I heard some people today say he won't get in because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Well, neither does Dan Marino. You know, I mean, obviously it's nice to win those and, get that on your resume, but there are plenty of quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings that are nowhere near the caliber of Philip Rivers. I mentioned Nick Foles earlier. You could throw Joe Flacco or Trent Dilfer or Mark Rippon or, you know, probably a few more guys into that mix who do have the Super Bowl ring, but just aren't the quarterback that Philip Rivers is. So, you know, get kind of over the fact that he didn't get a ring because they don't win them by themselves. You know, it's not an individual sport. It takes a team. And just unfortunately, he didn't have the team to get the job done. So we'll see how, you know, see how that goes when the time comes. What is it, 5 years to wait? So there you go.
Now, yeah, you know, kind of sticking on Super Bowl quarterbacks. It'll be interesting to see what happens in this playoffs series. But, I mean, what is your take now with Tom Brady, Belichick, you know, that whole thing? I mean, is it just, you know, obviously the biggest question was, you know, what's the reason they were in their position? You know, was it Belichick, the system? Because the system always seemed to work when Tom Brady had, you know, broken toe or whatever the hell he was out for, and Garoppolo was able to fill in, and even that other, the third stringer was able to kind of step in and take, you know, keep the team rolling. I mean, but now you see the Bucs where they are and where the Patriots are. I mean, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? Which one, how do you kind of take the situation in?
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it is, even if Tom Brady was the Patriots quarterback, they weren't going to win this year. You know, I mean, you know, and people, you know, and I get it. It kind of goes back to the whole, you don't want to ruin a good story. And everybody roots against the Patriots because they've won for so long now.
Yeah.
But no team could survive what they did, that they had happened to them this year, because they had, I believe it was, their top five defensive players opt out because of COVID-19. And they didn't, you know, they don't really have any offensive weapons. You know, when you look at the Buccaneers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin would be the best two wide receivers on the Patriots. So Brady has those weapons around him that you need to be successful. And, you know, any quality quarterback needs that. I mean, you look at, you know, you can just take the Chiefs for that example. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. If he had been drafted by the Bears instead of Mitchell Trubisky, we wouldn't be talking about him as a great quarterback, because there wouldn't be a Tyreek Hill to throw to. There wouldn't be a Travis Kelce to throw to. You know, it just wouldn't have worked that way. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure it has something to do with them not having Brady, because obviously he's a great quarterback. You know, no doubt about it. But you can't just lay it out there black and white without looking at the circumstances around it. And, you know, again, like I said, I get it. The circumstances around it ruin a really good story for everybody, because you want to kill the Astros, or you want to kill the Patriots. I'm thinking about the Astros still. So, you know, but if you're smart enough to look at the whole thing, you understand you know, that it's a little of both. You know, it's a little column A, a little column B.
Now, I forget what it was that I watched where, you know, Tom Brady gave a great interview with some lady. So bad. She's on one of the networks. I'm sure that narrows it down, right, Big Jack? And it was before a game, so that'll help you even more. But, you know, he kind of gave an interview, and she, you know, she was asking about why Tampa, this and that. You know, and, of course, he threw out the fact that, well, the weather, which I think this guy, I think once Tom Brady finally is done with football, this guy is going to be in our lives for the rest. He's going to be on TV. We're going to know about Tom Brady till he dies. Unlike Eli Manning, whose commercials are kind of creepy. I don't know if you've seen him. He's not very TV. So, but that's neither here nor there. You know, I don't think he really gave her what really made him go there. But, you know, do you think that when he was looking at Tampa and he saw all the pieces and, you know, knew that if he called up Gronk, Gronk would come play again and not retire or whatever? I know he was traded, but, you know, do you think that's what brought him there and he recognized what was going on there and thought he could, you know, maybe not go in, maybe he wasn't thinking he can go in and just win a Super Bowl, but knew he had everything there that can really kind of push that team forward and, you know, make people look at the Buccaneers again?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he wasn't going to go to a team that was rebuilding. You know, there was absolutely zero chance of that. He was going to go someplace where he could win. And, you know, that was Tampa Bay. I mean, it made perfect sense for him to go down there. And it's humorous that you brought up the weather because, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the forecast for our area for this weekend. It's going to snow in Green Bay while they're playing. So, you know, how much effect will the weather have on that game? You know, that will be quite interesting to see if, you know, Tom, you know, and obviously he's played in cold weather before in New England, so it's not a first, but obviously now he's 43. So it can be a little different, but, yeah, you know, and now you mentioned Eli and those just very strange commercials. Have you seen the Peyton series that he's doing, the Peyton Manning series? I don't know if he's doing it for the Mickey Mouse Network or if they just air it on the Plus function they have. But everyone is supposed to be really good.
No, I didn't know there was a Peyton Manning series, but, I mean, let's be honest. This guy had everyone going nationwide, is on your side, you know, chicken parm, whatever it was. You know, you had the whole country, if not the world, doing that. I mean, Peyton Manning is charismatic, and I'm surprised he hasn't, you know, got a spot on Saturday Night Live, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe that's his next step. Who knows? You know, it could be one of those things, but I didn't want to break down and pay for the Plus, so I haven't seen it. So, you know, I doubt that. I don't think I would watch enough of it to make it worth my while. I mean, I just kind of stream whatever I want anyway. So spend my time there. Oh, there Remember, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want over at freeking.com.